Today's episode about why there might be a recession coming might scare you a little bit, and then you might get worried, which means you might change your behavior. And then that makes it more likely we'll have a recession. And then more people will start talking about it. And then
the recent yield curve inversion has renewed speculation about a North American recession. Indicators suggest that the next recession may hit Canadians harder than Americans.
Canada's household savings rate falling to 1.1%.
We're at the very end of a long run. Trade war with China is the harbinger of doom.
This new report that's come out with thousands of job losses additionally expected.
We're headed towards a recession or a bear market that'll be accompanied by a recession. You know, this has been a long bull market. It's the longest in history.
But hold on. As an individual, you actually aren't that important, and you can't let your emotions drive your finances, and there are bigger forces at work here. So you know what? Maybe relax. It's going to be fine. You know what? It's because of that that we did this episode. Because a recession is an emotionally loaded term, but it has just cold, unemotional numbers behind it. And that can really mess with our heads, which in turn can mess with our spending habits, which leads to, yeah. So we will keep this basic. What is a recession? And is one coming to Canada? How can we tell? And if our neighbors to the south do slide into one, is there any way we don't get hit too? And if or when we do, how do you protect yourself? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Daniel Tenser is the business editor for HuffPost Canada. Hi, Daniel.
Hi.
Can you maybe start just by simply explaining what a recession is? I mean, technically, and how often they happen?
Well, the technical definition of a recession is two consecutive quarters where the economy shrinks. So basically, if across a six-month period, the economy shrinks rather than grows, they call that a recession. But that's really just the technical definition. When people think of a recession, what they're actually thinking of is losing their job, expenses growing faster than they can afford it, financial uncertainty, inability to pay your debts. That's what people tend to think about when they think about a recession. Whereas in fact, technically, that's not what a recession is at all. It's simply two consecutive quarters of a shrinking economy. We had a recession in Canada in 2015, and really only the people in Western Canada and maybe Newfoundland noticed, because it was driven by decline in oil, and that decline in oil caused a decline in our GDP. We had a recession, but if you were in Ontario or Quebec, you wouldn't have known it.
How often does that happen? Does a technical recession happen without the majority of the public feeling it? And not to minimize, you know, the pain felt in certain regions in Canada, but there was no mass media coverage of Canada's in a recession. What do we need to do?
Well, I think that it doesn't actually happen all that often. And it can also happen that sometimes you don't get a recession, but it feels like a recession.
Right.
Like if you go back to the dot-com bust around 2000, Canada came through that impressively well. The U.S., actually did have a recession. Canada didn't. And yet just the drag, the psychological drag and the economic drag from the slowdown in the U.S., the bust out of all those dot-com companies that turned out not to be worth anything, that just created a psychological environment in Canada where people assumed that we were in a recession. And everybody around 2001, 2002 was talking about, yeah, we got a recession, it's so bad, when in reality, it wasn't. And so, you know, there's the way I think about it is there's two kinds of recessions. There's the technical economic recession that you can see in the data. And then there's what people believe, what they feel, what they see in their own lives. And the two may not always link up. And that's why I think a lot of people today, including myself, feel like we need better ways of measuring the economy than just GDP. We need to look at a kind of, I hate to use the word holistic, but I think we need to look at the economy in a more holistic way so that we actually measure what people are experiencing in the economy, because it's people's actions ultimately that determine where the economy goes, whether or not you decide to buy a house, whether or not you decide to get an education. Those are, you know, every person's decisions about those types of things that adds up to being the economy. So I think we need better ways of understanding what people are doing and why they're doing it.
What are some of the ways we can get a sense of which way those things are trending? My follow-up question is, which way are they trending?
Well, let's talk about that question, which way are they trending? Because this is something I've been thinking about. It's very hard to tell right now what is going on in the global economy. There are a lot of unusual things happening that make the usual signals for recession or the signals for a strong economy, they're becoming sort of untrustworthy. You don't know what those signals are meaning.
Let's start quickly before we get into why they're out of whack is what are those usual signals? What are we used to tracking to tell whether or not we're going to hit a recession?
Well, there are a number of different ways of looking at it. You can look at the financial markets. And in the financial markets, economists look at interest rates. And what they're looking at to determine whether an economy is healthy or not is the difference in different kinds of interest rates. So, for example, short-term debt generally has a lower interest rate than long-term debt. That just makes sense. If you're lending for the long term, you're taking a bigger risk, you want more return. So typically, if you're borrowing for a year, you get a better interest rate than somebody who's borrowing for 10 years or 20 years.
Right.
In a normal economy, that's what you'll see. But sometimes investors and lenders get nervous about the economy, and then they start to demand more interest on that short-term debt because it's the short-term economy they're not certain about. And when that happens, interest rates on short-term debt go higher than long-term debt. The term for that is yield curve inversion. And when that happens, that's a fairly strong sign that the people who make a lot of the decisions about the economy, the investors, the executive class, that those people are losing faith in the economy. That is exactly what we've been seeing this year, both in the United States and in Canada. The yield curve on government debt inverted in Canada last month to, I think, its steepest point since about 2000, since the dot-com bust.
Huh.
But it's been flickering back and forth, inverting and uninverting and inverting and uninverting. So people are looking at that signal and saying, what does that tell us? We're not exactly certain here. And that's part of the problem, is that a lot of these signals that are telling us, that usually tell us a recession is coming, some of them are flashing, but unreliably. And then there are other signals that are telling us something completely different, that the economy is very healthy and things are doing very well. That's why I think there's so much uncertainty about whether or not we are moving into a recession. It's just that the signals are telling us many different stories.
Do we have any idea why they're not aligning? Do they usually align to tell that kind of story and it's just this time that they're wonky?
No, this has happened before. I mean, this does tend to happen when there's some kind of a change or an upheaval in the economic situation. And I think right now we're seeing a lot of upheaval. For example, the trade war, Donald Trump's confrontation with China. That's been ongoing. It's been escalating over the course of this year. You know, a lot of people in the economy, the decision makers in the economy don't know what to make of that. You know, what do we do about this? How do we plan for this? That kind of uncertainty, it causes investment to pull back. When investment pulls back, job growth pulls back, trade pulls back. We've seen a real decline in global trade volumes this year. That's the kind of signal that normally says, a recession is coming. But if at the same time you've got record low unemployment in the United States and strong expanding demand across much of Asia and that kind of thing, well then, is that actually a sign of a recession or is it just kind of a blip as a result of this trade war? Nobody's really certain. And it's that uncertainty that itself kind of makes a recession more likely.
Right. That was my next question is, can we kind of scare ourselves into one by being worried for the future of our personal finances and saying, okay, well, I'm not going to invest the 12% of my paycheck that usually goes directly into mutual funds. I'm just going to hold on to it and stuff it under the mattress.
I think we can definitely scare ourselves into making things worse. But I wouldn't make too much of the notion that the economy is psychological. It's true that our decisions make up the economy and our psychology determines our decisions. But at the same time, there are a lot of mathematical realities that that have nothing to do with psychology. And that's especially important when you're thinking about debt. Almost every financial crisis in history has been some variation on somebody taking on too much debt and then not being able to pay it back. Whether you're talking about the housing bubble in the U.S. in 2008, the stock market crash in 1929, the tulip bubble in Amsterdam in the 18th century, It all kind of comes down to this, taking on too much debt because you're too optimistic about your ability to pay off this debt and too optimistic that you're going to make tons of money off of whatever it is you're borrowing for. That's how these crises happen time and time again. So there's a risk in psychology both ways. We can scare ourselves into making a recession worse, or we can be overly optimistic and accelerate ourselves right into a crisis. So I think when it comes to psychology, I think we should kind of pull back and try to be sort of detached from it and just look at it for what it is and look at our own finances in a realistic way and not stretch ourselves, but also not scare ourselves into not living our lives and not spending money.
Which way are our personal debt levels trending in Canada then? Are we headed that way?
Well, we are, yes. To be absolutely honest, we are on an unsustainable path when it comes to household debt in Canada. I'm not talking necessarily about government debt. That's a different picture and varies actually quite a bit from province to province. But when it comes to household debt, we are now at record highs or just off of record highs of household debt of around, I think it's about about $1.78 in debt for every dollar of income that we have. We have nearly $2 trillion in consumer debt in total in this country, and it grows faster than income year in and year out. And what that means is that as we go through economic cycles, you know, these cycles of economic expansion and recession and expansion and recession, every time we hit one of these cycles, we hit one of these cycles with more debt. And that makes us more vulnerable. When I look at, what the economists are saying out there, you know, the analysts putting out notes about macroeconomics, the thing that I kind of notice is this sort of undercurrent of worry that the next recession, even if it's not caused by anything that happens in Canada, even if it's not that particularly intense, it could just kind of cause this domino effect because there's so much debt in our economy. So many people are leveraged to the hilt. Every several months or so, a consumer survey comes out showing that a considerable chunk of the population, I think somewhere between 40 and 50% in most of these surveys, say that they are, they wouldn't be able to survive their paycheck being delayed by a week, or they wouldn't be able to handle an additional $200 a month in extra costs. Well, what happens to those people if there is a decline in the economy and unemployment goes up and, some number of these people lose their jobs? That will have an enormous snowball effect right away because they won't be able to make their mortgage payments or, they'll have to sell their house right away and put it on the market at cut rates, or they'll have to move to another city and uproot their entire family. There's going to be all these impacts on the economy because we're vulnerable at these very high debt levels. And I think that's one of the reasons, if not the major reason, why the Bank of Canada is so cautious about interest rates and why it's now sort of signaling that it might be cutting interest rates soon, even though our economy isn't particularly unhealthy and our inflation rate doesn't really warrant an interest rate cut right now. But I think the Bank of Canada is looking less and less at what inflation in our economy looks like and more at this enormous debt burden Canadians are carrying and saying, we can't raise interest rates into this environment. This is the priority here to make sure people are able to carry this huge debt.
If this indicator is so high and it's flashing and there's a ton of discussion in the United States for sure about a potential recession resulting from the trade war, why do you think it hasn't? And correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't heard a lot of discussion of a potential recession from any of the campaigns.
Well, that's a good point. I think that, we are at a point in our economic cycle where nobody really wants to throw that R word into the political cycle because you might be accused of panicking the markets. You might be accused of trying to talk down the economy for political gain. If you're Justin Trudeau and you're in power, obviously you don't want the R word thrown around because, you've been in power for 4 years. To an extent, you own this economy. So I think really there's not much political benefit at this point to throwing that out there. If, on the other hand, things were to rapidly deteriorate between now and the election, which I think is unlikely, but if, for instance, the economy really went downhill, then politicians would feel the pressure to respond to that. then not mentioning it would seem like you're delinquent in your responsibilities as a political leader. But without that happening, as long as it's just this sort of simmering debate, are we or aren't we going into a recession? I think it's probably in the best interests of any politician to avoid the subject.
Since we are hearing a ton about it from America, though, I wanted to ask you kind of how closely are our economies tied together when this kind of thing happens? Is it possible, for instance, that America's trade war with China causes a recession there and we somehow scrape out a one? Or are we in the same boat?
Well, I mean, it all depends on the specifics. If we're talking about a small, mild recession caused by a decline in global trade caused by this trade war, then yeah, I think Canada could probably avoid recession in that case, as long as Canada's own circumstances are pretty decent and we're trading with the world and maybe we're taking advantage of some of those opportunities that the United States has left on the table by getting into this trade war. Yeah, we could actually, you know, sort of position ourselves to benefit positively from that kind of thing. But if, on the other hand, the trade war leads to a kind of like a cascade effect where things get worse and worse, you know, where maybe investors and business leaders lose confidence in the economy and pull back and unemployment goes up and you get a more serious recession, then it would be very hard for Canada to avoid being impacted by that. If you look at our history, it's almost always been that Canada and the U.S. go into recession together.
Right.
And come out of it together. We are still very dependent on the U.S. We have a distinctly different economy from the U.S., but the U.S. is still far and away our most important trading partner. And maybe even more importantly than that, we are perceived by the global financial and economic community as being one thing. And if something happens in America, traders, you know, will react the same way when it comes to Canada. If traders are dumping the U.S. dollar, they're probably dumping the Canadian dollar too, you know?
Right.
It's not necessarily fair, but that's part of the price of being in North America, being next door to the United States and, you know, enjoying the benefits of being part of this free trade market with the U.S. and Mexico. The world is going to perceive us as being tied to the United States.
So what are the one or two things that you'll really be watching for in the next couple of months that would signal to you like either, okay, this is coming, or hey, maybe we're correcting?
Well, I think that what I will be looking for is whether or not the global slowdown is having a particularly strong impact inside Canada. The numbers that I'm going to be looking at to see how we're doing through this economic slowdown, whether it's a recession or not, I'm going to be particularly focused on consumer numbers. Are people paying their mortgages? Are people paying their credit cards? You know, what are the delinquency rates on different kinds of debt? Those are the numbers I'm going to be paying attention to because, and I think the Bank of Canada agrees, this is kind of the biggest vulnerability in our economy right now, is these very high household debt levels. So what I want to see is whether or not the slowdown begins to impact those debt levels. If it doesn't, if it's just, you know, if it kind of comes and goes through Canada's economy without particularly impacting households, then I would say we'll probably be fine and we're not facing any kind of major or serious recession. But if I see those delinquency rates going up, then I'm going to worry.
If you're worried and if people also see that and they're worried, on a personal finance or household level, how do you prepare for a recession?
Well, I think preparing for a recession is something that people really should just be doing all the time. Like, you should always actually make financial decisions, keeping in mind the fact that we live in an economy that goes through cycles and that, you know, every now and then the economy shrinks, people lose their jobs. When you make any kind of plan, you should take into account the possibility that you may not have your job forever. You should take that into account when you get your education, when you buy your house, everything. And as far as preparing for a recession goes, I think the most important thing anyone can do, the generic advice that I think applies to almost everyone is get your debt under control. Make sure that if something happens and you know, your household has a decline in income or a spike in costs, that you can somehow handle that you have some measure of flexibility there. You've got some cushion every month of income that you're not spending. If you have no cushion, change how you live so that you have a cushion. I know people don't like to hear that, you know, that, you know, austerity, people hate austerity, people hate having to cut back. But the reality is, if you don't have that cushion, you will not be prepared.
Right. Well, thank you for that sobering yet probably instructive advice.
I hope it was helpful.
I'm going to go pay off my credit card now.
Yeah, I think me too, actually.
Thanks very much, Daniel.
Thank you.
Daniel Tenser is the business editor at HuffPost Canada. And that was The Big Story. For more from us, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also talk to us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. Tell us about your saving habits. Hope you're responsible. And of course, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, on Google, on Stitcher, on Spotify. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.